Hello, and welcome to Growing and Changing in Christ. This is a Christian podcast made possible by the grace and loving kindness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and Living Hope Bible Church in Roselle, Illinois. I'm your commentator, Sophia Taylor, and our podcast this Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014, The Marks of a True Christian, Part 3. This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Matthew Black, by Elder Marcel Reed, and by Minister Deion Taylor at the Living Hope Bible Church.
Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Matt Black, and I'm so glad you've joined us for our podcast today. And we are so excited to be studying the fingerprints on God's children and how we can see from the book of 1 John that God has done a work in our hearts as believers in Christ. And we've been studying how the Apostle John really lays out 11 marks that demonstrate that a person truly knows the Lord. And we want to be clear that these are not marks that save a person. A person is not saved by works.
That's right.
A person is saved by the grace of God. But these marks really show that God has saved the person. They are really evidences of God's work in our heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were created to glorify God.
Yes.
In the beginning, God made us in his image.
Amen.
And because of sin, that image has been marred.
Yes.
But these marks demonstrate that we're being conformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Pastor Matt, can you just tell me, what do you mean by the glory of God?
Sophia, that's a good question. The glory of God literally means the reflection of God, the manifestation of God, and to glorify God means to give the right opinion of God. And a true Christian is going to be growing and changing into the likeness and glory of God. We're going to be glorifying God, giving the right opinion of who he is in our thoughts, in our motivations, in our words, and in our actions, in our relationships with other people. And so when we look at these marks of God's children, we've already covered four of them. We talked about how when a person is saved, they're brought into fellowship with God. That's the first mark.
Yes.
That we have intimate fellowship and friendship and a deep relationship on a day-to-day basis with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then there's a hatred or a carefulness towards sin. We have a different new relationship with God, and we have a new relationship with sin. We hate sin. Since we love God, we love what he loves and we hate what he hates.
Yes.
The third fingerprint is obedience to God, practicing righteousness, holiness. And of course, all of these are found in 1 John. John says in 1 John 2:2, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The idea is not law, but love.
Yes.
We love him, so we keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's about love. It's about trusting the one who has changed our hearts. And so our greatest desire is to carry out his will on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
Then last week, we covered the fourth mark, and that was that we are separated from this world.
Yes.
We do not love the world or the things in the world. In fact, we live for another world.
That's right.
We live for God and for his kingdom. We don't live for the prince of the power of the air. We don't live for our own passions. We don't live for this world system, what's cool, what's in.
That's right.
We don't mind culture and fashion. There's nothing spiritual about, you know, dressing in a dowdy way. But that's not the center of our life. Our God is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And his kingdom is what our focus is, not this world. We live for another world altogether. So this week, we're looking at 1 John chapter 2. All these marks come from 1 John. And if you look at our website, there is a link to the podcast where you can get resources from our podcast studies. If you go to our website at livinghopechurch.net and click on the podcast button, you can find resources that will actually give you a handout on the fingerprints of God on a Christian's life. So I hope you'll do that. The fifth fingerprint is found in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23. It's a boldness for Christ. Mm-hmm. If Christ has transformed us, we're going to be bold and loving about sharing who he is with other people.
Yes.
And so, Brother Marcel, could you read 1 John 2, 23?
1 John 2, 23 says, "No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also." If you look at 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God."
Amen.
Now, Pastor Black, I want to ask you a question and give some explanation on this. What does it mean to believe that Jesus is the Christ? In fact, most people think that Jesus' last name is Christ. So we want to know about that. And what kind of answer would you give to someone asking that?
You make a good point, Dion. The last name of Jesus is not Christ. Christ is a title.
That's correct.
And it means the anointed one. It's pointing to the one who is the Ancient of Days, who is God, who would come in human flesh to redeem not only Israel, but all of humanity.
Amen.
We go back to Genesis 12, to the Abrahamic covenant, where God promises that the seed that comes from Abraham will bring a blessing to all the nations of the earth.
That's correct.
And so he's talking about the anointed one, the one who would come from Abraham's seed. In fact, God promised it way back in Genesis 3:15 that there would be a human being born from Eve's progeny, and that would come and crush the serpent's head.
Amen.
And so God, after the flood and after Babel, you know, the scattering of the nations by dividing the languages, there was a pagan named Abraham, and God called him out and again promised that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed through a seed that would come through him. And of course, later on, it was clear that it wasn't only a family, but a dynasty that would come through David, who was the king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And in the fullness of time, God's son was born of a virgin under the law.
Amen.
And that seed was born, and he was a king that was greater than David, a king greater than Solomon, a prophet greater than Elijah and Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he even said he was greater than the temple. The temple, the Old Testament Levitical system, was made for him. It was designed to point to him.
Yes.
All of the sacrifices pointed to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he comes into the world, he comes as this promised seed that God promised right from the beginning, the Christ, the anointed one, the redeemer of humanity.
Yes.
As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is the one anointed. This is the one who is, you know, part of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's anointed, and he perfectly fulfills the whole law of the Old Testament.
Yes, he did.
And then he also fulfills the ceremonies by being sacrificed on Calvary.
That's correct.
He's the Lamb of God.
That's correct.
Yes.
So this is what it means to believe that Jesus is the Christ. It doesn't just mean simply to believe these things theologically and intellectually, but to actually trust in him as our Messiah, as our King, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, the one who, whatever he says, we bow our knee, we want to fulfill his will. And so when it says that we confess that Jesus is the Christ, it's saying we believe that he's the promised one to save the human race, and that he has saved me.
Amen.
He's the center of my life.
Amen.
Yes.
And if we come to God and we just want to add Jesus to our life, we're not believing that Jesus is the Christ.
That's right.
We might believe that Many things are our savior. Yes. Money is my savior. Yes. A relationship is my savior. Yes. Success is my savior. And then I'm going to add Jesus. You know, it's one of many saviors that I have. Well, I'm not believing that Jesus is the Christ.
That's correct.
He's not really the anointed one that is going to save me. Well, there's all these other things in my life that are going to save me. And I'm going to add Jesus along with that. So when John says in 1 John 2:23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. He's speaking about having Christ as our Savior and saying that He is the one who all the prophets have spoken about. If we deny that, then we don't know the Father. Or as he says in 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God abides in him. And as well as 1 John 5:1 that Brother Marcel read, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that we find in a true Christian's life is that Jesus is their king.
Amen.
He is the center of their life. And until a person comes to believe that, as Paul says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the basis of salvation, believing that we need a Savior, believing that God had to come in human flesh and the wrath of God had to be placed upon Jesus, so that our sins could be taken away, and he had to be raised from the dead, showing that he conquered death. Unless we believe that, we're not really saved.
Yes.
So I think a lot of professing believers are nothing more than make-believers. There are a lot of people in the churches today, pastors, theologians, people who have spent hours in the Bible, who are saying that Jesus is not the only way to the Father.
No.
Right?
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yes.
And we just want to say that a true Christian will not deny the exclusivity of Jesus. A true Christian will defend the exclusivity of Jesus.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, Muhammad's God and the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are not the same God.
Yes.
Right.
That's correct. They are not the same God, no matter what popular celebrity pastor says that they are.
Right.
They're not.
Right.
There is one true and living God, and all the idols are no gods.
Okay.
At best, they are mere demons posing as God.
That's correct.
But there is only one true and living God, and Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God, the promised one, who would redeem us from all of our sins.
Yes, correct.
Unless a person comes to him and confesses that he is the Christ, the only Savior, the only King, he cannot be saved.
That's correct.
Yes.
Right.
Hey, Pastor, what would you say to people who are confused about the deity of Jesus and they do not think that he is an equal with God?
I think you mentioned earlier the words of Jesus, I and the Father are one.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
That's pretty clear.
Yes.
He said in Matthew chapter 12 that he is the Lord of the Sabbath.
That's correct.
Yes.
He says that he's greater than the temple, which is blasphemy in their ears.
Yes.
Those that heard him.
Yes.
He says he's greater than Jonah, the prophet. He's greater than Solomon.
Amen.
And he says the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath day.
That's correct.
The God of Genesis.
Yes.
He's also pictured as the Son of David.
Yes.
He quotes the Psalms where David calls his son Lord.
That's right.
And he says, why does David call his son Lord? The implication?
Good point.
Because his son was not only human.
Mm-hmm.
His son was deity.
That's correct.
And then we have the very words of the apostles. We have Thomas bowing down before Jesus,
mm-hmm.
saying, my Lord and my Theos, my Lord and my God,
mm-hmm.
the creator of heaven and earth. You
that's
know,
right.
my
yes.
God.
That's
great. We have John the Apostle in his gospel going back to the book of Genesis in the beginning.
That's correct.
And now he begins to bring Jesus into this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was
God.
Right. He was Theos.
Mm-hmm.
And the same was in the beginning. This one was in the beginning with God.
That's correct.
So he's not a created being.
That's right.
Jesus is deity. And we could go to so many other places, Philippians chapter 2, that early Christian hymn, where Jesus did not believe that hanging on to his active use of the infinite attributes that he held to was something to be grasped or held on to and retained. He gladly set aside the active use of his attributes and became like a servant. I'm sorry, made in the likeness of men. And then it says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess, quoting the book of Isaiah concerning Yahweh.
That's correct.
So Paul is making the connection that Jesus is Yahweh.
That's correct.
And so all this has to do with a true Christian believing that Jesus is the Christ.
Yes.
He's not less than God. He's co-equal in power and glory. He has all the same attributes of God, and he will judge the world.
That's correct.
Praise the Lord that we do have a mighty Savior. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
You know, the Bible makes it clear that we are to acknowledge who Christ is and be willing to stand upon that and really to die and give our lives for that.
That's right.
But I think it's important to understand that oftentimes this just doesn't come to us as something that we can easily do.
Yes.
And I want to point out that even Paul said, I would like you to pray that I would have the boldness to speak forth the gospel.
That's right.
So if we don't have boldness, God says we should pray for it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we should ask him to give us the boldness that we need to be willing to speak the truth and speak the gospel boldly to others, to witness to others. And don't be concerned about what they say or think or whether their feelings are going to be hurt or whether we're going to offend them.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you this, they'll be more offended in the day of judgment by not having received that word that we could have presented to them than the day that they stood and heard those words preached to them through our witness. And the Holy Spirit then convert them. And consider finally this. Suppose the one who came to us with the gospel had thought twice about offending us and merely let us walk away, thinking that they may offend us. Where would we be?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise God for the one who brought
that's
me the gospel.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God for his boldness.
Amen.
And I pray that we would have the same tenacity to speak boldly the truth of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, and let's be clear, Brother Marcel, that we're not saying that a person who is a true Christian witnesses flawlessly.
Mm-hmm.
That we take every opportunity to preach Christ. Now, there are some times when our flesh gets the best of us, and instead of on that airline giving the gospel to that person right next to us who needs it, we chicken out.
Mm-hmm.
But in our hearts, we believe beyond everything else that Jesus Christ is our God and our Savior and our King.
Amen.
Jesus even says that this is the mark of a true Christian. In Matthew 10:32, everyone, he says, who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven.
That's correct.
And whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Yeah. Unquote. A true believer, when you ask them, who is Jesus? They confess that he is the Christ. He's God in human flesh. He's the one the prophet said was going to be born as the wonderful counselor, the Father of eternity, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God. And we believe that. That's what we acknowledge before men. We will not deny that. We will die for that truth.
Yes.
And so that is the fifth mark of a true Christian. Brothers and sisters, we are boldly witnessing for Jesus. We're standing against this pluralistic world. And sometimes it can be really, really discouraging.
Yes.
You go to work and everybody has a different gospel. Everybody has a different thing that they're trusting in.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you to keep proclaiming that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And as you do that, other people will come to know him. And not only you, but they, you and they both, will be growing and changing in Christ as you confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen. This podcast message was brought to you by Living Hope Bible Church, located at 6 North 171 Gary Avenue, Roselle, Illinois, 60172. Our phone number is 630-529-8949, or reach us on the web at livinghopechurch.net. If you are not saved, or not sure, or looking for a Bible-centered church where the Holy Bible is preached, taught, and applied, please visit us Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for Sunday school, 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning service, and Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. And we have Bible study service Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening. Today's message, The Marks of a True Christian, Part 3. And we hope and pray that you too will be growing and changing in Christ.